3. And it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Now, we're going to go ahead and continue to read till verse 33, because over the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to be referring back to it. So just keep it efficient. So we're going to continue to read the full context here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying this as it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, so as we dive down into this, the first thing is that we see here is the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. And it even goes through and talks about even the qualifications of elders. And other passage talks about how the husband is supposed to rule his house well and supposed to be able to be that leader of his own household. And even though not every man is necessarily going to meet all the qualifications of an elder, some couples may not have children and other things like that, but this is one command to where if you are a married man that is a Christian, this is a quality that you should have regardless of whether you're striving to be an elder or not. A lot of those qualifications are qualifications of Christians as well. And so any Christian should be meeting those types of qualifications of who you should be as a leader and as a ruling of your household well. And those are some of the key things there, as he mentions in 1 Timothy 3, which we won't necessarily turn to. But when we get into this idea of rule and leadership, especially contrasting the business world, anyone that's been in the business world knows that there are many different types of rules and leaderships, and they're definitely not necessarily always healthy in any way at all. So what do we mean by what type of leadership should a quality of the husband have? And the first and foremost thing that we're going to look at is the idea of love. So we're going to look at the idea that as Christ loved the church, and that is going to be the main focus as we continue on here for the next 20 minutes with regards to that. The problems arise first when the husbands don't properly love their wife as Christ loved the church. And that's why we get into a lot of problems, as the book points out, that the failure of the husband to love and cherish and walk through these things definitely ends up going down the road of lording over the wife, of hammering out commandments and pointing out all the things that she should be doing and should not be doing, and focusing on his lordship over her. And that is not the love that's regarding to Christ loving the church. This is what he's pointing out here. And that's why our society has changed so much, because it's been largely, you could point to a lot of factors, but this is just one, that it's a failure of husbands loving their wife in the way that's honorable to God. If you look through the decades and half century or more, it's been very poor and not very strong leadership capabilities with regards to loving your wife. So therefore, wives feel trapped because they're not being loved, they're being lorded over, and that's why we have these problems. But that should not be the case, and wives should not feel this way based on the scriptures and based on the way the husband is supposed to lead in love. If the husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, the wives would feel loved. They would feel honored and appreciated. They would feel like, this is someone that I can look up to. This is someone that I can actually submit to. This is the type of leadership that everyone longs for whenever we're in a relationship with either an employer or employee. We end up responding a lot more when we're expressing love. And love is what's going to bind, and love is what's going to provide that kind of unity. So therefore, that's why we see a lot of modern wives and a lot of modern problems. It's because of the lack of love in the family, lack of love in the leadership role, which is the husband's task. Even as Christ loved the church, he gave himself for her. And so ultimately, this is a display of this love. This is giving you an example of what love we're really talking about here. And so the example that's giving is as Christ died for the church, for his people, for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That type of love has been demonstrated. It's been laid out for us. We can see it. And that's the love that is being described here that we are to have as husbands, as we honor and cherish and care for our wives. It is a special sacrificial love. It is unlimited. And as we point out before, God is love. Love is that eternal. Hope and faith's going to pass away. What's going to endure forever? Love. And that's that idea where it's not a matter how big love is, it's the idea that love is eternal. Love is unlimited. Love is sacrificial. Love is what God is. It's one of his main, amongst many, eternal characters and characteristics. This is the love that's being described that the husband is supposed to have towards his wife. And it's that love that is so solid that it does not unbound. It will unify every time. And that is the love that we are to show for our wives. It's that type of love. When you got married, husbands, you entered into a love covenant. You entered into that idea that you are going to love her. Unlimited love. And you are going to cherish her and focus on her and do anything to lift her up and to help her. That is the love that we entered into when we decided to get married, is that that's what we're going to commit to our spouse, our wife, with regards to that. Go ahead and turn to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8, and it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affliction and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition and conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born into the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So here, once again, is another passage to try to describe And it's interesting to me, and not really interesting to me, that any time that the writers talk about love, they're giving you an example. It's like somehow we need this example, right? Because this love that he's referring to is this love that we're talking about, that is of God and from God, and he has displayed that for us. He has given us that example that we are to be able to display for our wives and to be able to have that type of care and that kind of sacrificial love to give ourselves up for her and that kind of sacrifice. The husband who imitates Christ will not put on his own needs first. Not put it on his own needs first. You almost think that that's almost opposite of what we see in a lot of leadership roles. A lot of times, like, okay, leaders, make the decision. You do what you think's right. That would be the typical business world, right? I mean, we look to leaders to make wise decisions. But how many leaders actually look at the company, or more importantly, their extended company, how many leaders look at the customers and actually make a wise decision based on the needs of the customers and the employees? There are a few companies that do, and guess what? They're highly successful. But most do not. And this is the type of love that we are to have, is it's not about our needs, but it's about the needs of our wife. Yes, we are to even try to lift her up and even have this idea that we are to serve one another. We talked about that when we talked about the wife's role, and also before then. We ultimately are to serve one another as Christians. Same thing when we talk about the husbands. Even though the husband is the head of the wife, ultimately, we are to understand and look at the needs and be able to take care of those first, not of ourselves. Nothing his wife says or does will interfere with the love that gets expressed by the husband to the wife, just as Christ loved the church. Did the church and the people do anything deserving of the love that Christ did on that cross? Did we do anything deserving of that love being displayed? Did we have any kind of ownership of we deserve this love? And the answer is no. This is the type of love that the husband is to have for the wife. Unconditional love. A marriage thrives on this kind of love. When you have this love displayed, the wife will feel it. The wife will all of a sudden understand that this is a display that's beyond, really beyond earthly type measurements. When a husband has this kind of love, it is beyond anything that can be calculated. And ultimately, that's what's going to make the marriage be successful and unified and one flesh as God described it. I've got all these articles, and we just don't have a lot of time for me to actually have what I would consider kind of neat little side type articles and things. But I saw another article. It seems like they pop up all the time. And the article said something about the man is winning the thermostat war in the house. And I'm like, fine, I'll go ahead and pull it up. But here's yet another. I mean, I have a whole bunch of them that you will see it all the time about these relationships and how the husband and wife are dealing with these struggles. And I'm reading the article and this, this, and that. And he goes, although the wife is getting more say in this, ultimately he's still controlling whether the house is too hot or too cold and whatever. And here's the deal. As a husband that's to love the wife, who controls the thermostat? The wives. Thank you. Was that a wife that said that? Oh, did you, who said that? My wife? No, okay. The answer is correct. Husbands, the wife controls. Unless she's spending like $1,000 a month. I mean, then you might want to have a nice loving and caring conversation. I mean, because then that all of a sudden might get into a very unmanageable situation. But let's just ignore those extremes for a minute. But yes, you are to care for your wife. If you have a jacket on and she's cold, what do, guys? You give it to her, regardless of how cold you are. You care for her. You look to her needs beyond your needs. You don't say, for example, you don't say you're out somewhere and she don't have a jacket and you have a jacket on. You don't say, honey, I told you to look at the weather. I told you it's kind of cold outside. You should have gotten a jacket. It's pretty cold. I'm not going to do it. I mean, maybe you'll learn from it. Maybe next time you'll actually get a jacket. That's what not to do. Trust me. Experience. I at least have 21 years of it, and many here have a lot more. We are to love her, meeting her needs, and caring for her, and that's what it's about. Nothing will interfere. Nothing will interfere with the love that we bestow. Now, I will give another. Is there any exceptions to fulfilling her needs at all that you all might be? Is there anything that I need to put, just a small, any kind of fair warning at all that we would? Yes, Dave.
She claims that her needs are somehow sinful.
Very good. And that's exactly because we covered this, did we not? We covered this in some earlier lessons, and I believe that it is applicable here. So with the idea of the husband is to care and meet the needs of the wife, that includes the spiritual needs, and it not only includes it, but it's first and foremost, yeah? It's first and foremost that we are to care for our home, and it's part of our leadership duties. And for sure, that does mean that if the wife says she needs something, that would then violate what God would want the family to do or look like, or even the relationship. You know, we talked about with the wives, and we'll talk about it here, that even in the bedroom, the idea of those relationships that we have, sin can be brought in. Sin has been brought in. Sin has been brought in to the home, even amongst brethren, those that we know that. We know examples. So in those situations, the husband is to love the wife so much and care for her and be willing to die for her to the point of he has to comfort her and guide her and make sure. Same thing for the wife and the husband. This goes both ways with regards to this. When sin enters into the home, it is then the obligation of both Christians to help each other along because we are to be one flesh. We are to be united in Christ first and foremost. We ultimately have a master that both of us serve and look to. Yeah? So that would be the only thing there. But barring all that, we should love the wife to meet her needs and to understand her needs. Any questions or comments up to this point? I wanted to at least try to get to certain points before I moved on, but we have a lot to cover. But any other follow-up thoughts or comments that anybody wants to make? Yes, sir. Right. Very good point. Very good point. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, very good point. Yeah, it's pretty thick out there. And like I said, we it definitely behooves us just to remind ourselves as we walk in through this. As we've done from the very beginning, I've tried to be very realistic with the idea that we have a lot going on around us that's struggling and pulling us away because we fall into these mistakes all the time. I mean, it's extremely difficult to enter in the way God has laid it out because of all the surrounding things that's pulling us away from it. And so that's a good point, Kyle. It's something that we just need to keep reminding ourselves, because like I said, if we don't realize how hard it is because of things around us, we talked about social media, we talked about all these articles, all these things, these gender type struggles, if we don't recognize that it's a problem, even in our heads, in our societies, in our local walks, then it'll be much more difficult for us to tackle it. Our guards will be down. Yeah, when someone knows that, hey, when you walk around that corner, someone's going to punch you in the face, what are you going to do when you walk around that corner? You're going to duck or hold your hands up or whatever. But if you don't think there's any problem, no one warned you, or you don't think there is a struggle, or you don't think that there's a danger, your guard's going to be down. And so it's extremely important to always remember that our guards need to be up. There's everything facing us today that's against what we're talking about. Okay, so that's a very good point. All right, go on to page 30. We're going to look at his love is comparable to the way he loves himself. And we've already read Ephesians chapter 5, and so we're just going to make some applications with regards to that. When the husband can see their wife's needs with clarity, they can see their own needs. And the idea here in a nutshell is, what man or what any person doesn't know your own needs? And that's kind of one of the main points, is the idea, hey, I understand what my needs are and what I need to be cared for. That's kind of nature and natural for me to have these tendencies of, well, I need this, I want this, I need this. But it's that kind of understanding, so much so, the understanding of my needs, that I understand so much so, I need to understand her needs in that same manner. I need to understand her needs so well that where it's like it's handling my own needs, which I definitely know so well. That's the kind of attitude and way that we need to understand our spouses, our wives. And it goes both ways. We talked about the wives already, but the idea is that's how we need to understand each other in order to help meet each other's needs. But for the husband, it is something that's a high priority. Christ did just that. Christ did exactly what's talked about here. He looked at our needs when he went on that cross. Did he need to die for himself? No. Did he have sin that he needed to sacrifice? No. He went and died on that cross because he understood our needs. He understood that we were in a need for a Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice, and he took care of those needs before we even understood them ourselves fully. That's the kind of needs. So Christ, not only is our example of him dying, but also his example of understanding our needs. He knew what we needed better than we did. Even his apostles, right, were saying, no, Christ, don't go and die. Did they fully understand the need that they had? No. So once again, Christ gives us that example of understanding others. And that is the love that the husband is to have for the wife, is he needs to understand her needs in order to be able to love her just like Christ loved the church. He used to nourish her. The word is to promote health and strength. This kind of goes back to what we were barely talking about a little bit earlier, the idea he does things that are healthy. He does things for her and makes sure that she is in a healthy situation and that she's going to be strengthened and she's not going to be hindered any kind of self-conscious way. She's going to feel good about herself. He is to nourish her and to supply all of those needs that she needs. And that includes, if she's had a rough day, no, you do not assume, just like we joked earlier, you do not assume that, hey, I'll just take all the kids away from you so that you can finish cleaning the house and iron my clothes. No, that's what not to do. I'd grade it, by the way, we could spend all this time on great, bad examples. I've got plenty of them, and I can just go on. But that is not fulfilling her needs. That's fulfilling what you think her needs are, but you need to understand what her needs are. Maybe her needs are she just needs to get out of the house while you manage the house, while you vacuum the floor, while you go and pick up Little Caesars or try to cook something or whatever, right? But you need to understand her needs in order to be able to fulfill her and to love her. And by the way, each wife, well, I only have a limited experience, but each wife is different. I think I'm safe in saying that. Each wife is different. Therefore, you understand the needs of your wife. Don't sit there and go, well, so-and-so and Michelle or Amber does things. She wishes that she could just, you know, have the kids to herself. No, no, that's not your wife. Yeah, Dave.
I think with your last comment, you kind of touched on that. I have yet to meet the man who understands a woman in full at all. Maybe not even in half most of the time. I think the fundamental challenge that we have is that we're two people trying to be one. And when we're two people trying to be one, sometimes we don't understand because we come at it from opposite perspectives, quite literally. So we have to communicate. We have to find a way. Excuse my voice. I hope everybody can hear me normally. My voice is a little shot this morning. We have to find a way to understand what it means to love your wife as yourself. Because there are things, for our example, that I would prefer that Aubrey would never prefer. And vice versa. Like pineapple pizza, for example. Aubrey loves pineapple pizza. I will touch this stuff with a 10 or 12-foot pole. So just an example. So you have to discuss and communicate. And I think that's what's key here. And Paul kind of hints around it is that you have to lead from love, but that love involves a communication, just as Christ communicated to us. He told us what he came to do. He's given us an entire book to read for many thousands of years now on how to live our lives in a manner that he finds acceptable. There's no mystery with Christ. It's a matter of study and learning and applying yourself. And I think that applies in this case. The husband has to lead from a loving, adopted love example, this unconditional love. I'm going to love you no matter what. I'm going to learn everything I can about you. I'm going to fail a lot because it's just foreign to me.
Yeah.
And the wife follows that example, and you come to, over time, a better understanding. And then by the time you get it perfect is when you go on and you love yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was trying to avoid, I was hoping someone would come out and comment that way. I didn't get in trouble on the way home. Saying that it's impossible practically to understand a woman. But I appreciate your comment on it, and that's great. But
I think we all know that. We like to say that.
Yeah.
Vice versa, by the way.
Yes, exactly. So, no, very good point. And I think that goes back to just some of the things we were saying really over the last couple of few weeks is that this is something that is monstrous and to overcome. And I think that that's where my heart typically is. I'm typically one of those people where I'm like, hey, instead of just, we could, keep going through this, but just to kind of take a step back and slow down a little bit every once in a while and go, hey, this is hard. I fail at this all the time. And maybe some of you all don't. And it's very possible. But I'm one to kind of open up and go, no, I'm failing at this. This is a challenge for me as a person to work at understanding and to loving to that level of degree of sacrifice, this unlimited love. And even some of us, when we're like, no, we got this. This is cool. And we even say, well, there's, when we start looking at love, we're like, no, I got this. I'm willing to sacrifice for my wife. I'm willing to sacrifice for some people, even in this room. I'm willing to sacrifice. You got to understand, whenever we make statements like that, that's not the love. Whenever you say, I can sacrifice for some people in this room, that's not the love we're talking about. The love of Christ is, I'm willing to sacrifice. Christ sacrificed for all mankind. He sacrificed for people that were undeserving. He didn't sacrifice for people that were good or people that we respect or he respects. That's not the love. The love is bigger than that. It's not even big, it's unlimited. And that's kind of really the point there, is that this is a love that's eternal. This is love from God. And that is the love that we are to strive for. I love the word strive because that's what it is. Just like what John said a couple weeks ago, the idea, we are learning it. We are learning. It's something that we are growing into. And I think that's appropriate as well. We're growing and learning and understanding. I think it's the same thing with understanding our wives. We are to grow and to learn and understand. Even when that understanding changes, you know. So, for example, real quick, where do you want to go eat? That's probably one of the most difficult questions to ask. And, you know, for the first of all, it would always fail. But in the first 10 years of marriage, Kara would then go, well, I'll give you options. You know, so she would give me options, you know, Chili's, Ruby Tuesdays or whatever, or pizza place. So that worked really great until after 10 years. And then something happened. I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, after 10 years of marriage, all of a sudden, she'd give me three options. I'd be like, oh, cool. I would say, okay, Chili's then. She goes, well, I kind of just threw that out there because, I just needed to come. So all of a sudden, after 10 years, I have to relearn and understand her. And guys, that's part of it. I'm not saying that to rag on her. Guys, that's part of what we have to do, right? We have to continually learn and understand our wives. And they have to do the same for us. Trust me, we change too. So it's not just the woman. We change too. Our needs change. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think I know where you're going with it. Ultimately, it's let me try to paraphrase if I understand where you're. Ultimately, it's we are two becoming one flesh. There's always two in the equation. I think that's what Aaron may be getting at. And the idea is we as individuals have a responsibility to grow and to understand ourselves with our servitude to God our Father, first and foremost, always. And we should always be working on our needs and making sure that they're in line with where we're going, where we should be going. We should have goals within ourselves. As men and women, you should have goals within yourself as servitude towards God. And that, so in other words, both of you all have needs and things that you are to strive for. But then you also look to the needs to others. Is that okay the way I'm saying it, kind of what you're thinking? Yeah. So I think that that's accurate. Otherwise, it's only one person becoming one flesh. But the idea of when both, though, is focusing on each other's needs, that's where, like Aaron's saying, hey, men have needs, and we need to be astute to that because we have to be able to, in a kindly manner, help our wives understand our needs because that is her task. Yep, very good. Yes, Mickey?
I just think that what we're talking about here is little things. It's setting the thermostat, where you eat, what you do. I hope I can get this out right. Christ died. Mm-hmm. And that's
Yep.
And the little things bring about this thing that goes on, and then, wow, there's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Now I got you.
Yeah.
I don't have to forgive. I don't think that's what the scripture teaches. If we love our wife like we love, like Christ loved the church, he forgave the very worst.
Mm-hmm.
And if the two is one flesh like the scriptures say, and we teach our young married couples like we should, then these little things are right. We need to compromise on them. We need to work with them at all. But that's not the problem. The big thing is the problem. When the big thing comes along, we need to know how to forgive.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah, Darren.
I think also a lot of times we focus, or the world focuses, on the extremes of everything. It's like, you know, yes, I'm a husband and I'm supposed to love my wife, but not to the extreme where I just let her walk all over me and do whatever she wants. You know, it's, I love my wife because of the relationship that we have overall that we are focusing on. And the little things like the battle of the, you know, temperature in the room, we both should be able to get over those.
Yeah.
You know, the world kind of looks at the extremes, like big things. That article takes it to the extreme. It's a battle, you know, between, you know, the, you know, husband and the wife over what the room temperature is.
Yeah.
You looked at it like that.
Yeah.
It's a little issue that if you add them all up, you know, they still shouldn't affect your overall relationship.
Yeah.
You both work with each other.
Yeah.
Because of the overall relationship. It's those extremes, I think, we all need to stay away from.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and everything y'all are saying is accurate with regards to the idea that if you have the kind of love that Christ has for the church, then as it trickles down into these small things, there's not a problem. Okay? There's not a problem. And the idea if the wife is submitting to her husband the way the church is to submit to its head, then there's not a problem as you trickle down to these small little examples that we're kind of talking about. It's not a problem. If you do not have the love, husbands, and if you do not have the right submittal attitude, then when you trickle down into these small little problems, guess what? You have a problem. Okay? So only thing I'm doing is just saying, yes, I totally agree with that. I'm just giving us small examples in which we are failing, which is emphasizing we got a problem. That's all. You know. So all I'm saying is instead of, okay, you know, we focus on the big underlining problem, yes, but these small examples will help us remind us that, hey, we have a problem. And we also know that these small little problems add up. This is what you're saying, Mickey, too. They will add up, but they do focus on the big problem is the problem, the idea of that. And that's what we are to focus on. But we get, I think these examples are good, though, because I believe I've taught with enough couples over the years to where they are a problem. Okay? Let me go ahead and get Todd first.
Yeah.
Caring for each other's needs.
You know, you have to kind of
yeah.
Give it back.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron?
Yeah.
we can even go down the road, the idea in order to love like Christ loved the church, we need to be a forgiven person in order to enter into relationship. In order to have a unifying relationship, God called us to be a forgiven people. We ourselves need to believe that we are forgiven in order to be able to launch on to an actual relationship. That's an interesting point. A huge conversation with regards to forgiveness, something that I believe there's a need for, by the way. So I don't want to necessarily belittle it here, but the idea of forgiving not only ourselves so that we can actually go into relationships in a healthy way, but also the idea of forgiving each other, I think is absolutely critical. And maybe we'll spend some more time on it Wednesday night, but it is critical, and that can hinder our relationship so much to where it'd be a struggle. So I appreciate everyone's comments.